Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sarah Pascoe.
Hello, I'm Carrie Adloyd.
And we're weird about books.
We love to read.
We read too much.
We talk too much.
About the too much that we've read.
Which is why we've created
The Weirdos Book Club.
Join us!
A space for the lonely outsider to feel accepted and appreciated.
A place for the person who'd love to be in a real book club but doesn't like wine or nibbles.
Or being around other people.
Is that you? Join us.
Check out our Instagram at Sarah and Carrie Ads Weirdos Book Club for the upcoming books we're going to be discussing.
You can read along
and share your opinions.
Or just skulk around in your raincoat like the weirdo you are.
Thank you for reading with us. We like reading with you.
This week's book guest is Chapters by Tim Key. And this episode was recorded live at the British Library as part of the Chortle Book Festival.
What's it about? Well, it's a very, very amusing book of poetry that's sort of been a reflection of our time.
What qualifies it for the Weirdos Book Club? Well, they are short, brilliant poems, but I'll be honest, they are a bit odd.
In this episode, we talked about gin and peppermint.
Fat Face.
Pink Pies.
Trains.
Pret-a-Manger.
Sylvia Plath.
And John Kearns.
And joining us this week is Tim Key himself. Tim is a multi-award-winning comedian and writer, poet, actor, been on Taskmaster, and he will tell you quite a lot. He was also a contestant on House of Games. Chapters is published by Utter and Press, and the audiobook is available to listen now with Tim and past guest Katie Wicks.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you to Carrie Ad and thank you to Sarah for taking the trouble to give up some of their Sunday.
Thank you to King's Cross for cleaning things up.
Oh, thank you to Euston Road, it's essential. Yeah.
Thank you to the UK.
We forgot to thank the King!
Oh, no!
A new King, it makes it all possible.
Thoughts are with him. Tim, thank you so much for being here to talk to us about your book.
A real pleasure. Oh, there it is.
You've had a book tour already, and this is sort of
I've done a few conversations around the UK. Yeah, very enjoyable. Thank you.
Until now.
This is also enjoyable.
Okay.
It's early days.
So far. You like talking about your work,
right,
do you?
Yeah.
You're comfortable with it?
I am, actually. Mm. Are you comfortable talking about your work?
Mm-mm.
Do you not like it? Why?
Yes. Makes me feel shy. And in almost anything, I can hear criticism.
I think it really empowers me talking about mine.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Do you not bother? Do you never have a question that you're like, oh, I can't believe I have to talk about this?
I'm starting to think you've got some pretty mean stuff you're planning on saying.
My first question, actually, because it's a live recording of a podcast,
yeah.
I'm worried we're going to be too flippant. So first of all, I want to check, is it art?
Is what art? The book?
Your work.
Is my work art?
Yes, to you.
How do you feel about talking
easy.
About your work now?
Yeah, my work's art. Let's press on.
Okay. I want to talk...
Your work not art?
No. I don't think comedy is an art form, but we can talk about that later.
Oh, my God.
We can talk about that later.
These leather swingy chairs have made us feel late-night with Parkinson. As if we're like, you'll have an arts debate about it.
Clever.
Pardon me?
Clever, I would guess.
We talk on the podcast a lot about the weight of a book.
I knew I was going to start with this.
It's so light, guys. Doesn't matter what's in it. Doesn't matter about the quality. What we're talking about is a book that's light.
You know that saying?
In your bag, it's not annoying you. You're not, every time you pick up your bag, you're not thinking, oh, I can't take that. I don't want to read that
one. You know that saying, don't judge a book by its cover?
No, judge it by its weight. that's what I'm thinking.
Have you weighed it?
I haven't weighed it, but I can just tell.
Yeah.
I can just tell.
Have you weighed it?
No. Why would I weigh my book? It's 120 grams.
120?
Without the cover.
That's very light. That's all you need for...
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, it's very carefully selected paper stock.
Oh, the paper stock is lovely.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The yellow quality, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
I haven't read the poems, I don't know, but the quality of this, lovely.
Oh, you could eat
it. So what comes first, the paper stock or the words?
Do you want a serious answer?
Yes. Paper stock.
What came first was the size...
Really?
Yeah. So our idea was this size. Mm-hmm. That was the idea.
Nice.
And then we sort of decided what to put in it after that.
Beautiful.
I wanted a book that could fit in your back pocket of your jeans.
Yes.
Here we go.
I don't know if it can, though.
Of course it... Well, you've got to stand up.
You can.
Oh, OK, hang on. I'm embarrassed. Let me go over here.
Don't be embarrassed.
OK, ready? What will I choose? I'm addicted. I'll probably go to my phone first. But then... When I feel sick of Instagram, I'll come to your book.
Actually, you know, you make a flippant point there. But that is the reason. I wanted a book where you can take it on a bus and...
Reach for it instead of your phone.
And instead of going and looking at your phone, you can look at my beautiful book.
Beautiful.
Yep, and read a poem and then put it back in your pocket. It's a dipper, innit?
It's a dipper.
And I think that's why it's worth mentioning it, because it's not... It is...
I think we want to get beyond it at some point.
No. She's always on at me about the weight of the books, but actually this feels like it's in, like there's a design happening here.
Yeah.
There's a design happening.
Yeah, it's not just...
This wasn't a mistake.
No, that's right.
We didn't try to go for the usual size of book and couldn't quite get there.
Yeah.
No, it's...
So just sticking with...
I'm happy to stick with it.
So was it Keats who died on a boat with a book of poetry with Percy Shelley in his pocket, or the other way around?
Yes, definitely.
No, Keats died. Keats is the one who died really young, and so then I think, was it Shelley?
Someone died on a boat, and they had a book of poetry in their pocket, and what I'm trying to say is, that could happen to you.
Yeah.
And you're...
I got lost by the time you said what would happen.
On the Greenwich Ferry.
Yes, exactly.
And all they find is, oh, look, all these folded over pages. This is what she was reading.
Exactly. Yeah. This is great. It's not why I wrote it, but that's nice. That's comforting to know that could happen.
So it's very clear.
Yeah.
The form is very important to you. So
yes.
Now can we discuss Juniper?
Emily Juniper.
Yes.
Yep. Do you want to know who she is?
Yes. Who is she?
I know who she is already.
Do you?
Yeah.
What can you tell me about Emily Juniper?
Well, anyone who really likes comedy may recognise her because she's on Brendan Burns's Edinburgh poster circa 2007. The reason I remember it's about the time I was starting comedy.
Yeah, I remember
that. Anyone involved, especially at a much more successful level to me, seemed really famous.
Right.
And Brendan Burns had a poster with two gorgeous women on it, one of whom was Emily Juniper.
Oh, I didn't know that was her.
Yeah.
Well, and also that I mean, amazingly, she's won a Perrier Award.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. If you're on the poster...
I think, to be fair to her, I think she was on the poster because she was in the show.
Oh, she was in the show?
Yeah.
Okay. I only saw the poster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't really get under the skin of that show, did you?
I just thought, male comedians, I'll never be friends with them.
No.
They need women on their posters just to sell their shows, but actually she was an important part of the... She's a Perrier-winning comedian.
She's a Perrier-winning comedian.
And she's a designer.
But then she started a new life, yeah. So I think I knew her roughly around then because we have a mutual friend who's also your mutual friend.
Yeah.
Casey Wicks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they went to university together.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, after a bit, Emily Juniper decided to do the classic, leave London and go and live in Falmouth.
Also known as being happy.
Yeah.
Being the happy choice.
She's happy.
Yeah.
I've seen her in a natural environment.
Yeah.
She's happy.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
She is.
And then it's mad. You see someone, they're happy, then you get back on the train and come back to London. I never learn.
You don't want to be as happy. That's the choice.
I do want to be happy.
But not as happy as her.
Not as happy as that. No.
Yeah, exactly.
She's so happy, she's quite sad. I
yeah. It goes right round to the other side.
So
she's a beautiful, brilliant designer, is what we're saying.
But she's present in your book as your designer, there's a running commentary.
Yeah.
She's your first audience or a receptive audience.
Yeah.
And her response matters to you.
She's in every... Most of the poems have a separate conversation with you and Emily. Beautifully designed.
Which is lovely, because sometimes when you're reading poetry, for instance, Sylvia Plath...
what's he got there?
You finish it and you're on your own.
You are on your own. With my one, there's a
Never.
Sort of...
I always feel... I'm sorry, moment for this beautifully designed copy of Ariel by Sylvia Plath that Sarah's got.
I know,
it's
but
so stunning.
I've got an idea for a game later.
OK.
There's a slight duty of care after each poem where I talk to Emily Juniper. But Emily Juniper is... she's sort of in my life.
Yeah.
And I think you've accurately described her. She's my first audience, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't have a editor. she won't mind me saying this, she's not my editor.
Yeah.
She's my first audience. Yeah. Because I don't think it's editing when someone comes back and goes, I love that, that made me howl.
Yeah. The not editor decision, is that a fear of authority?
That's a great question. No, it's not. It's, why is it? Why have you got an editor?
Well, I wonder, because you said you're comfortable talking about your work, and an editor really is talking to you about your work.
Yeah.
And possible changes or possible solutions or...
Oh, God.
Confusions?
No, thank you.
And you can't put their funny conversations in a book. They wouldn't like that. Like,
exactly.
With Emily Juniper.
Look, I think when I've done like live shows, as we all have done them, I had a director for one of them. And then my second one, I couldn't really organise a director. And then I asked another director, and they didn't want to get involved. And then out of, I guess it's like necessity is the mother of invention. Mm. I then start really stressing out, but also making all the decisions myself. And then by the end of that show, I really loved the show. And although it's really useful to have a director for your own sanity and for having a third party to look at things, I kind of liked working that way. So then the second time I did the same without one. So then when I wrote my first book with Emily, I also think she was doing so much. We don't have anyone else involved. We just have me and Emily. So I thought if she's doing all of that, then I'll just sort of organise all the words. And I think probably it would have been quite useful to have an editor, but I'm way beyond that now. I'm in too deep.
Yeah. You don't like a director for your shows?
No.
Why not? Are you scared of authority?
Again, it's the criticism thing.
It's hurtful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like having someone say it's bad. Because I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
You don't like someone saying it's bad?
No, but if it's somebody that you trust...
I don't trust anyone.
I can come on board.
You can come on board. Yeah. I don't know if I trust you. But like, it's collaborating. I like feeling like it's not all on me.
Yeah,
With a live show.
Yeah, share the blame.
Yeah, definitely. So it's like, well, they said that was a good idea.
I think there's wisdom to it. I just really struggle with it. And I think lots of people who want to be stand-up comedians, they do want to be a one-man band.
Yeah, I think it's a very stand-up versus improviser thing.
There is something about it if you do a live show and you're on your own. And I don't think it's always a very healthy thing, but you do then live and die on everything being you. And so it can be, to be fair... extremely bleak. But it can, right. And also, that's the thing, if it goes really badly, there's no one to turn to, and you're on the night bus, and you've lost your trousers, and it's horrible. And then if it goes really well, you go, well, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, it could go wrong the next time, but that was okay. So I actually think, although I'm not doing it, I would advocate that you have a director.
I really, really loved the interaction between you and Emily.
Yeah, it was great.
You are quite the double act.
Great.
And I love her take on your poems. Mm. And what I loved, because sometimes, especially with poetry, if they're short, you can, you know, rush on.
Yeah.
Scrolling through. You know,
yeah, yeah.
And the little conversations allowed me more time.
Well, I
know it's not art, but to process what you've written.
It was like being in a English lesson. That's what I liked. Because then you had people that were discussing things and you were like, yes, I thought that. Or that was good. Or, yes, what is he talking about?
But she is quite loopy.
Yeah, but it's nice.
The character Emily Juniper.
You can have loopy people in your English lesson.
Yeah, you can do, yeah.
And make it sometime, yeah. We should say, it's not just her conversations, her incredible design and beautiful illustrations.
Also, she hadn't really done much illustration. Like, she did.
We should have got Emily on.
I was just thinking that.
Oh, yeah. You still can. She'd enjoy that, actually. She's been on a podcast. When we did a book... Me and Emily, our first one together was called He Used Thought as a Wife, and it was set in the lockdown. I asked Emily if she could do an illustration, and it was right at the end of the book. And I don't think I knew at that point how Emily would illustrate or whether she could illustrate. I assume she could, but you don't want it to be embarrassing. Mm. And she illustrates something, and it comes back, and you go, oh, well done. Did a five-year-old do that? Yeah. So when it came back, that's one of my favourite things that I've ever seen her do, which was in that book there's a story about me and a person called the Colonel who are just desperate to meet up during this lockdown and can't, and we're waiting for the pub, and at the end, the book ends with us getting to the pub in the bit where they would sell you like a 4-pint carton of beer through a window, And then we walk out of the pub and turn left and then turn right onto Hampstead Heath and we walk off into the distance. And Emily illustrated that, and it's just me and the Colonel just walking towards the sunset, and we look a bit like Winnie the Pooh and Piglet.
Is that the Colonel John Kearns?
That's the Colonel John Kearns.
Can I tell everyone about your prank on John Kearns in Melbourne?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Oh, great, OK. I really love pranks, and I really love comedians doing pranks.
It's great.
Melbourne have a festival, it's about a month long, it's a bit like Edinburgh, but nice, would you say? sunny, you get a day off, everyone makes money.
Oh, yeah, you go to the zoo.
You go to the zoo, you go on a tram, it's wonderful. And they still have awards at the end, but no one even minds, do they?
Nominated four times, go on.
And everyone's having a lovely time. So it must have been you and John both nominated for the main prize.
Oh,
and,
it was.
And they've been enjoying these little pies from the pie shop called Pinkletons.
Yeah, they're like a small pink, kind of like a French fancy. Carry on.
Yeah.
Nice.
And everyone's sort of standing, all the comedians are together, all of your friends are around, you know, who's going to win?
Oh, one detail. Mm-hmm. On his birthday, which he celebrated in Melbourne, I think it was his 27th birthday, I bought him 27 Pinkletons.
Yes.
Carry on.
So the Pinkleton thing had been running all
the
month.
The Pinkleton myth.
It got out of control.
Yeah. It was a theme of
and as the winner is called out, and it's not John Kearns and it's not Tim Key, you handed him a bag of Pinkletons straight away. But that's not the prank.
Oh.
The next year, you weren't in Melbourne.
No.
John was also nominated for the main prize again, so you got another comedian to go out and get Pinkletons.
I did.
So that John has completely forgotten. This is 12 months later. He's not been eating any pies at all that year. And exactly the same thing happens.
He loses.
Winner's
and then a pink
out.
Cake.
It's not John Kearns. Pinkletons.
Pinkleton. Yeah. I actually tried to do it the following year. And I reached out to a comedian, my mole, and they didn't get the Pinkleton into the hands of the
I think
English
they stopped
comedian.
Doing them. I think they stopped doing Pinkletons. I think that whole pie shop has closed.
The whole pie
because
shop?
Because that year, you'd have skewed their marketing. They'd be like, we've got this hot run on Pinkletons. We should only make those. Let's not make any other pie.
I brought down Pie Face.
Put them down. They couldn't compete.
I used to love Pie Face.
Yeah. Imagine the person who sold 27 to one customer. It's like they're going crazy.
Great day.
I didn't really know John at the time.
Good friends.
We're good friends now.
Yeah.
Now you
anyway,
are.
That illustration was fantastic.
Yes.
And so with this one, when we started writing this one, I did encourage Emily to, once we'd sort of worked out where the book would be, how it would all piece together, I think she might have like done a little couple of illustrations. But I was, in the same way as she's not my editor, I'm not her editor either. So really we just leave it to one another's. But I'm sort of on the sidelines going, oh, I hope she writes some more illustrations. Do you write them? Don't know how you...
Draw them.
Yeah, that's what she does. So anyway, but she's judged it very nicely where there's probably, I don't know, maybe 10 throughout the whole book.
Yeah, I liked it. Wasn't
and it's
too
nice.
Much.
They just sometimes crop up, but they're always beautiful.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you a few things thematically.
Yeah.
And I think we will ask you to read...
We will be asking you to read some, yeah.
Well, I've also got some thoughts as well.
OK.
I wanted to talk
we won't
to
won't be directing you to
shall I tell you what my thought is, quickly?
Yeah.
It would be quite good to read one of the dialogues with me talking to Emily Juniper, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So you two
for people
can...
who haven't bought the book yet, who are sort of wondering, that would be great.
So it'd be great, but also it'd be awkward, won't it? Because one of you's going to have to do it and the other one will feel sad.
Oh, no. The other one, I'd be Tim Key and you could be Emily Juniper.
Yeah.
Then I'll feel sad.
That's
fine. Right. Yeah. So we don't mind.
Oh, we don't mind that at all.
Yeah. It's important to be okay to be sad. It's a normal feeling.
It is. Yeah, I'm so happy I'm sad.
And it's really important to also, everything will pass.
That's true.
It's all a phase. It's all a phase.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about Fat Face.
Sure.
I wanted to ask about Fat Face.
Great. Okay.
Yes, great.
But I have an added reason because...
Oh, okay.
So I'm
just interested.
No. Fat Face comes up a lot in the poems.
A lot. It's a large theme. If you were A-level... essaying, you'd be
leitmotif, I would say. Yeah. And and I found that quite shocking because I'm writing a play about the apocalypse and Fat Face features in it quite heavily.
Oh, does it?
It's the only shop that hasn't been looted. And I've had this sort of low-level fascination yeah. with that face.
Well, so does Tim, quite clearly. Well,
exactly. We need to talk. I realise we need to talk about it.
So, have you thought about how you're casting the play yet?
We'll talk after.
We'll talk after.
I'd love you to be in my play.
I'd love to be the owner of Fat Face. I was born to play it.
Oh, my God. There is a section in the book called The Canterbury Ones.
Yes.
All about Canterbury. Well, I've had to...
But they could be called The Fat Face Ones.
They could be called The Fat Face. And you're right, having been to Canterbury for family reasons, the large part of Canterbury is Fat Face and
well,
the white
stuff. So my theory is, I think I'm the same as you. It's just there, isn't it?
Just there.
It's just a low-level, okay, not even... It's a very subconscious shop. And you're sort of just occasionally you'll be like, okay, another fat face, and you don't do anything about it.
Don't go in.
You certainly don't go in.
No, you don't go in.
But you let it exist.
Yeah.
If Fat Face is one of the great shops that you just let exist,
it's nice.
It's another white stuff. It's good to have it about.
Yeah.
I actually disagree.
Okay. You don't like it?
No, I go in. Always.
Right.
They research your play. There used to be one in Euston Station next to the Marks and Spencers. So quite often they're in places where you are waiting.
I'd rather go to M&S than Fat Face. Why are you going into Fat Face
on
in Euston?
An hour 45 minutes.
Oh, fair play.
I go in all of
and
the
And they
shops.
Took away the paper chasers. What are we supposed to do?
What, yeah. from which station? Euston?
Euston, yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. And so it was a sliver of a Fat Face.
Yes, oh, it was a tiny one.
But they don't need much to sort of, open one.
But I do think about them, Tim. I think about them. Number one, the pricing.
So
pretty
expensive.
Pricey.
So expensive.
Pretty pricey.
Is,
yeah.
Reassuringly expensive.
£100 for a swimming costume.
Keep talking. Does that come with a hat?
£80. £80 for a T-shirt.
Well, it's like 25 to 30 for one of the aforementioned wooden necklaces.
Really?
Like, they're expensive.
But my problem is the things that they write on there.
Yeah, awful.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that they're not afraid to write on there.
Mm.
Fat Face. They are obsessed with...
Yeah, they want that.
I think they're getting high on their own supply in there.
Yeah.
They believe their own hype. Anything... If you want to go... That's the thing about... I mean, this is not an advert for for Uniqlo, but if you want to go to Uniqlo, go,
oh,
fantastic, I'm going to get a sweatshirt that's got a sort of faint bit of sort of neck area, and you're away.
And it's reasonably priced.
Reasonably priced, and actually, I'll tell you what else you can do in Uniqlo, and they won't mind me saying this, is you can throw it into the basket and it scans it as it falls.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
They do that at Zara
Well, they do, Sarah.
They do it at Zara as well.
Right, there we are. Do Fat Face do that?
None of us have ever bought anything there. We wouldn't know.
From Fat Face?
No.
No, but my tech in Edinburgh from 2009 wore a Fat Face. He was basically sponsored by them.
I think they're really big in the southwest, Fat Face.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And I feel like they get here and they're like, but this sells out in Torquay.
But it's not the Fat Face thing. They do like these, you wouldn't call them poems, Tim, but they do like verses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, and it makes Liv laugh. Love.
Yeah.
Look good. Look like this. Look like fucking Ariel. That's what makes me like.
It's like they do their own version of surf like nobody's drowning. Like all of these things that's supposed to make you feel stuff.
Surf like nobody's drowning.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
There's lots of ride the wave, be yourself.
So Fat Face. But I also wanted to ask you about, because there's another leitmotif, is your House of Games.
Yeah, you go on about House of Games.
To the extent I thought you hadn't been on House of Games.
Oh, no, I knew he had. It's a bragging. It's bragging.
It's not a bragging.
Right, in like a good way.
No, it's not a bragging.
Very shamed. Ashamed, I'd
It's
say.
Not ashamed.
Oh.
Yeah,
what is it then, Tim?
It's confident.
It's split the diff. I don't know. Hang on, have we got to the bottom of Fat Face? We're done.
Maybe let's have a poem. You read us a poem that mentions...
Yeah, that mentions them both.
Canterbury 2.
Yeah.
Canterbury 2.
You're right. We can't run from Fat Face that quickly, sir.
I'm worried they're going to send us free stuff.
I don't think any of us have said anything bad about Fat Face. I think all three of us have just talked for 7 minutes about Fat Face, and although we've got contempt for it, I don't think any of us have said anything bad.
So we haven't really slagged it off.
Not really. We haven't slagged it on, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a poem called Canterbury 2.
You're going to get a fleece in the post.
Oh, I'd love a fleece in the post.
I went up Canterbury Cathedral for a giggle. I'd been on House of Games, so they gave me a good reception and let me ring the bell. I gave it a good old whack on the rim, and the mayor and some of the choristers applauded. They fed me some weird, thin Kentish mead in the courtyard, and the priest guy presented me with vouchers for Fat Face. I bought some plain swim shorts, a webbing belt and a khaki bucket hat. The chap on the till had heard me ringing the bell earlier, and he threw in a free strand bead bracelet and scratched my knuckle when he handed over the bag.
And at the bottom, Juniper says...
Oh, are we carrying on?
Juniper says, Canterbury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not one of the most scintillating pieces of dialogue.
I really love that one.
Yeah, I went to Canterbury to write a sitcom, and I got on the train home, and I'd written 5 poems about Canterbury. No sitcom. Bye-bye.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now I feel we can move on to House of Games.
Yep.
Perfect. So you've both been on?
You mentioned...
Yeah, Champion of Champions.
House of Games. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, come on.
Yep.
Can we talk about Tim before we talk about how great you are at House of Games?
Well, I won my round, and then I came back for Champion and Champions, and I thought I'd be with all four who'd won their week. No, people who just won a day. Did I win that one as well? Yes, I did. Continue.
It's a story as old as time.
So what's your House of Games story?
I went on House of Games, some pretty decent brains against me. Win that series, easy. Get invited back for House of Games, Champion of Champions. I thought all of them would have had to have won their series. They only have to have won a day. Anyway, go head-to-head with Gabby Logan and, yeah, I show her what's what.
There's no shame in there at all.
None.
No. So sometimes comedians will do a thing referencing, I guess, their... TV success, but they'll do it in a sort of disparaging way. So they pick a...
Ironic way.
Yeah, they'll pick one of the...
Give me an example. Have you done this?
I have. So if on stage I ever sort of need to tell an audience that they might not know me from television, but I have been on television, I use Mock the Week.
Right.
It's not something I'm proud of.
Is it not?
No. And Mock the Week's not my show. I was never very good on it.
It feels very edgy, you saying you don't like Mock the Week.
Yeah, no, does it?
I feel a bit scared.
Don't think they'll book me again. I outlasted them.
As will Fatface for all of us.
So. Did you bring them down? Is that like me buying all those Pinkletons?
And the other point is that it's Mock the Week for me has so many connotations. So one, it's old. I was on there over a decade ago.
Yeah.
Yet it probably is the only thing I'm recognised for in real life, which my husband finds hilarious,
yeah.
Is that, you know, once every 5 weeks someone will come and go, oh, you're very good on Mock the Week.
Did I do that to you?
It must still be repeated on Dave or something.
This is the problem. These things keep going out.
They last. Yeah.
But rather than using sort of a cool credit,
yeah.
I would only ever say on stage I've been on Mock the Week.
Yeah. So yeah. You're wondering whether that's the same thing that's happening
here. Your House of Games, yes. Because you could say, I mean, you've been...
I got the vibe he was pleased, he was chuffed.
Yeah.
Like me.
If you really want to know, I find those shows really hard to do.
Oh.
And House of Games I find really enjoyable to do.
Yeah, because yeah, you just got to answer the questions.
You just go on there and, you know, he's very friendly, isn't he?
Lovely.
And it's just a bunch of nice people. And you sort of get mic'd up, sit down... And really, it's just a case of trying to make the cameraman laugh and then go home.
Yes, so there's no audience. You,
no,
you
that's
all
not
five
how I play.
Episodes in a day.
Okay.
I'm not playing to win.
Well, I had a meltdown. But, I only did it once because I was on with that TV presenter called Rick. Very nice man.
Oh,
Rick Edwards.
Right, nice. Yeah, breakfast with him this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
How is he?
He's back.
That is Sarah reversing this anecdote.
They've had a baby, haven't they?
Yes, they've had a baby.
The baby was good.
Yeah, the baby was vaping.
It's very grown up.
She's
lovely.
So Rick Edwards is very, very bright.
Right.
And he's competitive.
Sure.
And it.
He cooked me wild mushrooms, scrambled eggs on toast, vine tomatoes, and a sausage.
Delightful.
And yes. They've got a, like under one baby.
They've got under one baby, so yeah, no babies.
You know the rules, you're not supposed to take food around to other people.
Yeah, you're not supposed to get
baby. I offered.
Oh, did you?
I said,
he's
do you
so
need me to...
He's so competitive, he's so competitive.
Do you need me to pick anything up?
Mm. He said no.
He said no. I arrived there, no orange juice. Anyway, carry on.
It just brought up... Rick brought out a bad side of me.
Yeah.
And I didn't like showing it publicly. And when it went on, I got messages from people. And this is what happens with...
Oh, well, I got messages from people.
People think they've sent you a compliment.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a compliment. People messages. Saying... well done for your performance on House of Games. I always think that my daughter has no examples of women being bossy and unlikable in the public eye. It's very important for young women to see that they can just be awful. And it was that kind of thing. And then he won.
Oh, that would annoy me.
He won.
Oh, yeah. He served his scrambled eggs on one of the trophies.
So yeah, that was the end of my...
Yeah, I wasn't in control, though. Honestly, I was shaking at one point because I was so adrenalised. Yeah. I was so stressed.
And I think they want you... They've booked you as a comic to be chatty and funny, but...
No, I wasn't remotely chatty. And when they pick teams and someone who's losing picks, I was like, why have they fucking picked me? Like, I was not gracious. It was awful.
Who was on yours? Gabriella
Logan. Jamie Lang.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Stelling.
I feel like I played Jeff Stelling.
I think Jeff Stelling is always there. He's like Alan Davis on QI.
Let's have another poem.
Yeah.
Let's have another poem. So now we know you're feeling on House of Games, which is, I mean, pride, isn't it? Yep.
I really like that show. Mm. And actually, it's really easy and I tend to win it.
Is there one you want to read before we... Is
no.
One of my maybe laughs was pre-tox.
Is there a little chat afterwards we can do?
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah, there is on the great. Other side.
Okay, lovely. Let's
are you two going to do the chat?
Yes. Yeah.
I hate that.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Jeff Stelling's coming later. Okay,
chat is performed by Jeff Stelling and Gabriella Logan, I think I'm leaving.
No, you know, you can do the chat then. I don't want you to hate it.
This is pre-tox. I bought a whole load of Pret, as in shit tons, as in basically a disgrace. Almond croissants, chocolate croissants, pano raisins, the mango stuff, the cheese and tomato thing, a love bar, fuckloads of crisps, several Swedish meatball wraps, chocolate mousse, people taking photos of me leaving disgusted with myself. My bag was bulging as I staggered across the concourse and boarded the 904 to Newquay. I was so sad looking at my bag. I poured in my coffee and my mango smoothie and I let it ferment, if that's the word I'm after. I let my head fall into the bag. I could feel my mouth opening and closing and my stomach filling. I could hear the train announcer talking about how he would reach Reading soon. He sounded appalled. As if he was looking at me in one of his cameras.
Ha, is this when you came and visited me?
Ha, yeah, it could be.
I'm Falmouth, not Newquay.
Oh, I sometimes change destinations. Keep my whereabouts under my hat, you know?
Under your hat from who?
Don't know, just... Rather say Newquay, avoid the hassle.
What hassle?
Well, anyway, yeah, that's from my trip to Falmouth.
You think you're going to have 1,000 of your Instagram followers waiting on the platform at Falmouth?
Not if I'm putting Newquay, I won't.
Oh, there's Pret features a lot as well.
Yes.
There's a lot of Pret.
And Juniper pulls you up on it quite early.
Yeah, she does, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
Mm.
She knows which way the direction of travel is. I think that one's really true. Some of them, they come from my head. Others, I'm like sat established on the train to Falmouth with 7 items from Pret, just going, that is insane that I'm doing this. Do you get a Pret on the train?
Yes.
Pret's a safe order that I do.
Comedians, yeah. I think, probably.
Yeah.
What's your safe order?
Here we go.
I would over-order as well.
No, but what's your go-to?
Oh, I don't have a go-to.
I do. I've got a go-to.
What's your go-to?
Let me tell you.
OK. Please do.
I go to the train station.
Yeah.
I leave myself plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am Pret,
mm-hmm.
tuna, mayonnaise and cucumber baguette.
Yeah, okay.
Then
oh,
I'm
controversial, I think.
W.H. Smith's.
Oh, yeah.
Just It's pole
court.
Okay.
I've read all the sandwiches.
It's not hand court.
Don't think that it leapt out of the seams of the sandwich.
This isn't new king. Yeah,
it's, yeah, poisoned tuna. then I'm W.H. Smith's,
yeah.
A grab bag, ready salted crisps.
Oh, you didn't get Pret crisps while you're there?
No.
Oh.
I prefer Walkers.
Most of their crisps are actually chickpeas and stuff now, aren't they?
Yeah, a load of crap. Crisps.
The salt and vinegar ones are so salty they will cut you. That it really does. If you've got a cracked lip, that's stinging.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're better off in WH Smith's.
Yeah, I see that. I haven't thought to do that.
I also get a paper there, maybe some sparkling water.
Okay.
And then, actually, weirdly, I think I'm back to Pret.
You've left for quite a long time.
Yeah.
You've left a long time. Yeah, we don't have this much time.
So anything hot? Are you going for the soup? Are you going for macaroni cheese?
No.
The meatball sub?
I've got too much respect for my fellow travellers.
The reason I can't have a regular is because they quite often change what is vegan or vegetarian options. So you can't get attached. You just have to go with what's available. And if it's artichokes and olives, that's what you're having.
That's sad. I'm sorry that they do that.
And that's okay. There's an option. There's always an
option. There's always an option.
Sometimes there's always a vegan soup as well.
Yeah.
There's a vegan sandwich. But sometimes there's just really great things.
Yeah.
And then you feel like, I'm glad it's not good all the time.
So you think, do you wish that the music would stop and it's just settled on one? What, if you could settle it on one thing for
one
you?
One vegan thing they did.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, what would you...
They said this is going to stay.
Thank you for asking me.
Well, they also do, you can speak to them now.
they do a Thai coconut-based soup.
Brilliant.
A red curry soup, but very, very rarely. But it's a happy day when it happens.
Yeah.
Such a vegan when it happens.
No, but I would overbuy also. So if it was that day, I would buy three. And I would microwave
I've never
it
heard of anyone
later.
Freezing soups from Pret.
She's not freezing
them. No, I'm not freezing them. I eat them later. I eat the soup for every meal.
Are you quite soupy?
There's a soup for breakfast, yeah.
I said, not okay. And she said, you can have it for these two meals. I said, yeah, lunch and dinner, not for breakfast.
Soup for breakfast? That soup poured onto cereal or soup just...
soup with toast. Toast is breakfasty.
Yeah, toast is breakfasty. So
but
there's
soup,
a link there at least.
But soup at night, like nine?
I've started having curry.
Oh, gosh.
For breakfast?
Curry on toast, yeah. Well, which is like thick soup. Yeah.
As in Deliveroo, or you've already got some
I've
in?
I've made it. It's leftovers. Yeah. This is too much now about what I've been
eating.
Oh,
sorry.
But it's way too much. I'm trying to sell a book here.
There's a Tom Yum soup that I made you have from wasabi, next time you're travelling.
Yeah, you ordered three when we ordered that. Yeah. I was like, I don't want one.
What's the nicest thing you've had?
Tom Yum soup from wasabi.
Oh, mine was goose curry from a thermos flask on a mountain. I'm serious.
We've had very different lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think?
Yeah. How long did it take?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
We don't discuss the questions beforehand.
Say it together at once.
How
long
did
it take you to write
the
poem?
I couldn't see your mouth. It's improv. I didn't see your mouth.
Poem, I'd say 3 to 4 minutes. Book, maybe sort of 5 weeks. So I put a bit of thought in. No, I'd say most of the poems are actually pretty. What's the kind of nice way of saying shat out?
Inspired.
Yeah,
your inspiration comes
exactly.
And they shoot out of you. Electrically.
Yeah, the genie visits me, and so I'd say that it's very rare that I try and. I remember once trying to write a poem about my dad, and that's not easy.
Yeah,
that was like. That was, I would say, pretty much a ploy to try and sort of, you know, elevate my show so it had this, something more in it.
Mm.
And I just couldn't. That's not easy, that stuff. I don't find that stuff that's quite so easy. But if I'm writing some stuff about a chap eating a soda stream, then that doesn't take too long.
So lots of people make jokes in order to distance themselves from things that they have a lot of feelings about.
Yeah.
And that might be why it's more difficult to write a poem about your dad.
No, totally. I can see why. I probably have written poems about him. Actually, there is a poem, not in here, but I have written a poem about him. But it's not really about, you know, the feel of his mittens on my ears at fireworks night.
Yeah.
It's more sort of about me carrying him on my shoulders around Bristol, which didn't happen.
Yeah.
But there's some warmth in the poem, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did I sign the mittens one?
I do too.
That's not a poem though.
Oh, but it could be. You've still got time.
Yeah, somewhere in my head, isn't it?
Goose
curry. If you just break it halfway through
Goose
the
curry,
sentence.
Dad one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes a poem.
Careful, sir, careful. Books of poetry everywhere, if you let them know. Can you read? Can I ask you to read Clacker? Just because
it's
a really short, delightful one.
It was so sunny. When Ray Wells staggered back inside, he was as red as a lobster. Also, he had developed pincers. His wife reeled backwards on seeing this abomination. She screamed as he clacked and mewed. She spat at him and started bringing up other instances where he had in some way let her down or been an arsehole.
And that's one of my favourite drawings. Beautiful. Emily's drawn drawing. A little...
Oh, it's the first one she drew.
And a little man with lobster arms, clacker. This is so beautiful.
Look, we can read a longer bit of Key and Juniper. This chapter is all set in the summertime.
Yes.
And if you look at page 80, this is the long one. Is this me and Sarah Pascoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I did it last
Fantastic.
Time.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I'll read the poem and then we'll go into it.
Okay.
The poem I wrote in Kuala Lumpur.
Did you?
Yeah.
You were filming that sitcom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a guy called Sonny, who was a really big guy who wore a bandana. And I was watching him and waiting to be filming. I mean, he was plodding around and it was so hot. Anyway, this is a poem I wrote about him. Sonny trudged across the yard, his bandana hardened under the sun. As he walked, so his skin calcified. He slowed to a stop and his flesh darkened as the sun dried him like a nut. He stood stock still under the basketball hoop. Then he teetered and fell, shattered into 1,000 pieces on the concrete.
One of the fisherman's feet ignited.
Pardon me?
It's too hot.
How do you mean ignited?
You know the bit I like? When it cools down a bit around 8 p.m, fix myself a gin and peppermint, drape myself over my trellis, bliss.
The fisherman, M, what are you talking about? His feet caught fire, are we saying?
Hat ploughed.
And his feet caught fire?
His left foot. He dusted his sandal.
Out at sea?
God no, Pat can't swim. This is at the harbour. The sun was bouncing off the Maritime Museum. His foot started smoking and then...
OK, I get the picture, Em.
Had to hot foot it to the hospital.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
No.
They couldn't extinguish it, sent him back down to the ocean and told him not to come back till it was completely out.
The hospital sent the fisherman back to the ocean?
Pat Cloud.
Yes, I get that he's called Pat Cloud.
They wouldn't dress it, said it had stopped glowing, basically.
What were the other fishermen doing?
Sheltering from the sun. They'd seen what happened to Pat.
Did they save his foot?
Yes.
Thank God.
I mean, as in, he's had it mounted. Like in a glass box thing. It's all charred and they've put moss around it.
Moss?
The green furry thing.
No, I know what moss is, Em.
I bet his charred foot looks lush on the moss.
You haven't seen it?
He's ever so cheerful, considering what he's been through.
So he's... What's he got instead of a foot, then?
What do you mean, instead of a foot?
I mean, I don't know what I mean.
He hasn't put something different on there.
Has he not got a plastic foot?
I don't know.
You don't know?
He wears long boots.
Ah.
So I haven't seen what he's got there now.
Ah, OK.
I couldn't believe it when he told me about it.
No, it's a mad story.
It's worse if you know Pat.
You've not seen his new foot or the mounted burnt one.
He's the nicest guy, Pat is.
Yep, that's set in Emily's Falmouth.
Yes, Falmouth. Falmouth. Strong Falmouth vibes.
Yep, I've been there.
Do you make up the Emily Juniper bits as well?
Yes. What do you mean? What make up what she says?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. There's sometimes bits, there'll be bits in there where she said exactly that.
Yes.
Maybe about 10 things.
Yeah.
Across the whole book. But mainly, we talk a lot on the phone. And sometimes she says, she'll say something and then she'll go, that's going in the book, isn't it? Yeah, that will go in the book. Yeah. So sometimes she sort of meets me halfway and says something, funny. And then other times it'll just come from my head. And then other times she'll look at the Emily Juniper in the book and sometimes say some stuff where she realises she's accidentally turned into the Emily Juniper from the book.
Oh, you've created a monster.
Does she really drink gin and peppermint?
No. I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, I was really what is gin and peppermint?
Do you know what? I think someone drank... You two might know this.
Yeah.
I think someone drank gin and peppermint in a book I read.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been a book by Patrick Hamilton, maybe.
Okay, yes. That's why I was so impressed by it. I was like, oh, my God.
She's actually drinking that.
Yeah.
No,
it fits
no one's
with everything else. There was... I read a Ben Elton book years and years ago, and a character in it had a Baileys and Coke... And I couldn't believe it. I kept thinking, surely not, surely not. I'd know. But I did it, and you can't.
When I heard about it, and then when I sort of decided this would be what Emily drinks, I just found it, like, the perfect drink for her.
Mm.
It feels so sophisticated.
So sophisticated. Yeah.
And because it's just so... I mean, it makes me...
No, but also with an edge of, like, it's going to get you really pissed.
Yeah, it sounds, like, hard.
Yeah. I think I'd fall in love with someone if they... went to the bar and ordered the gin and peppermint. It's just so... They know their own minds.
don't have, they're not in control of it.
They're out of their mind.
completely insane. I wanted to ask one question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
About the difference between performing your poems and having someone else read them in their head. Do you trust your readers to read them?
Great question.
Correctly?
But you have such a distinctive style that even when I was reading them, I had your voice.
Yeah.
I didn't perform it myself. I let my imaginary Tim Key perform them.
But you're another performer.
Yeah, that's true. So my imaginary Tim Key is pretty good.
Yeah. Whereas mine was being read like a newsreader. The news at 10. The Queen announced a short run at the Soho Theatre.
Wow, that would
she
be news.
It was her moment, so fuck it. Book the place, see who salutes.
That one works for the...
Yeah, that does actually. This does feel like a news
report.
They all
work. They're good poems.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that people can read them in whatever their inner voice is, but how do you find
sometimes
it?
Sometimes I get people feedback and say, I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
Mm. I think maybe that does help, the fact that I've done it as a live thing for so long.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Comparing it to Sylvia Plath as the sort of thing that we would do.
Yeah, I don't think we've compared it to Sylvia Plath enough.
Because I've never heard her reading
it. No, and if you do, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah,
she's American.
Really?
She's American.
Oh. Right. Yeah. Well, does she sound like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo?
This was my game that I had.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was reading your book alongside Sylvia Plath. But I thought maybe I could read you a few lines of Sylvia Plath and then you could just do like a Tim Key closer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought, to see if we could...
So I'm finishing the poem?
Yeah, or just Tim Keyifying it, because she doesn't have many jokes. Tim Keyifying?
Okay.
Okay, so here's what I imagined.
Yeah, sure.
I read a few lines and then suddenly there's a mention of Pret or Fat Face.
Right.
That's what we're hoping.
Okay. Even the sun clouds this morning cannot manage such skirts, nor the woman in the ambulance whose red heart blooms through her coat so astoundingly.
She munched down on her Swedish meatball wrap.
That's the kind of thing.
Yeah. I thought you were going to finish it with the next line.
Oh, I see. I thought I'd just carry on.
I tuck mine in.
Well, let's. If the moon smiled, she would resemble you. You leave the same impression of something beautiful but annihilating.
Your khaki fat face hoodie falls lazily from your shoulders.
Both of you are great light borrowers.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, is it?
Tim,
how wonderful.
Where can we buy this book? Tell us where they can buy it.
Oh, you can buy it in the shops now.
Great.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. This book you can get in, I think, any shop in the world.
Mm-hmm. Fat face stocking it?
Ideally.
Shopped it in all the pockets.
That would be great.
By
What's
the
that thing called when you collaborate with someone? It's a collaboration, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a collaboration.
Sorry.
Gotta be. You can get it in even like something like Waterstones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
And then it's also an audiobook. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Audiobook.
So then you can't, if you have a bad imagination, they can't imagine you.
Who is Juniper? And
it is you. You've done it.
No, does Katie Mix do it?
She does.
Oh, yes.
Good guess.
Yeah.
So that, you can get that. I think you go to my Instagram and then everything sort of falls into place. And then if you really want to know what else I'm doing, I'm doing my radio show. There's a new series of my radio show which comes out on the 19th of March.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, when does this come out of interest? Well, my radio show came out on the 19th of March.
Okay.
2024.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for talking to us. Please give a huge round of applause to amazing Tim Key, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Weirdos Book Club.
Chapters is available to buy now, and the audio book featuring Katie Wicks is available to listen to now as well.
You can find out about all the upcoming books we're going to be discussing on our Instagram. That's at Sarah and Carriad's Weirdos Book Club, all one word.
My novel Weirdo and Carriad's book You're Not Alone are both available in the shops now.
Thank you for reading with us.
We like reading with you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.